Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams. Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul.
Good. We're going to be talking about a city and town and a country that the American people are on pins and needles to find out more about it. Djibouti, where is it and what is going on? And, you know, the president, of course, has given his speech tonight. We'll have to watch carefully to see if he talks about Djibouti. Because even though I make fun, it really isn't quite that silly, you know, because once people know more about this, they, what are we doing there? And why could there be a confrontation with China? Why does China have a base there or building a base there close to our base? And what's going on? And billions of dollars being spent. So this caught my attention. I see it significant, and I think we can, you know, maybe get a map up to show the significance of the area we want to talk about today, because it is in the Middle East, and it happens to be, if we can see that area there, right in the center of the screen is Djibouti, in that isthmus, or the distance between that and Yemen is a total of 18 miles.
Wow.
And that's why we're there. And of course, we've been there since the 9/11 attack, and we keep building and plan for a lot more building. Mm-hmm. But what was in the news recently was China's right next door, a couple miles away, walking distance. And in the headlines, U.S. wary of its new neighbor in Djibouti, a Chinese naval base. So I think things are going on there, and it may be sinister, but it might not be all that bad. But one thing is when we looked into it, I was a little surprised on how much of a presence we had there. But just it refreshed a memory of mine, because when I was in the Air Force in the early 60s as a flight surgeon, we were flying in that area. But there was no Djibouti. There was the French Somaliland.
Uh-huh.
And we flew over that area, and we landed in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia, because we had a base there. And that was part of right at the height of the Cold War. So, but now it's different. Since 1977, I think they've had their independence from France. They were a colony. But now several countries are involved right now. The big thing in the news is China is building a base, and they have the lease gotten from the Djibouti government, and the United States have a 20-year lease from them.
And according to the New York Times, the U.S. feels blindsided because the U.S. signed the lease on the base. And previously, they had sent Susan Rice over there to forestall it, to get rid of the Russians wanted to have one, too. But the Chinese snuck in through the back door and got their own base. And I think actually our second graphic is it's almost comical in a way, because it shows the American base on the lower right, Camp Lemonnier. And then you have the Chinese base under construction. Just down the road, actually. So
right.
It's sort of an extraordinary situation where you have two military bases of countries that are certainly adversaries right in the same very strategic region. I mean, this is the Chinese have been there for a while. They've been dealing with a lot of the piracy problems that they've had in that strait, because they do an enormous amount of shipping. So they've had to depend on their military. We don't read a lot about the piracy, so the Chinese are probably taking care of it.
And there's been plans in these last several years of building a bridge across there. Yeah. Which, you know, in peacetime, that would just sound wonderful. But now that Yemen is in the midst of a war, and we're in the midst of sending drones over there from that spot as an ally of Saudi Arabia. So I think the bridge is not moving along, but to me it fascinates me to think that, you know, in more peaceful times you could have a bridge and people could drive back and forth on that.
Trade.
But it's something that I think is important to try to figure out exactly what China's up to. You know, the people who want to really paint it in a bad light is, you know, they're about to put nuclear missiles, you know, on this island. I don't think that's their purpose. But it may be a little bit more than just having, you know, these refueling bases and rest stops and all. But I think there could be a mixture of that. But I would think the Chinese government because they get bashed a bit from our policies. You know, China's rigging their currencies, and they're bad people, and they're building islands, and they're on the receiving end. Maybe they just feel like they ought to just express themselves, and this is convenient for them, and they can use it. So it's to show that they're not a bunch of pussycats, you know, not willing to stand up for their economic rights as well.
And, of course, the neocons and interventionists love stories like this because it feeds into their desire, their need to have an enemy figure overseas. And this is how the New York Times put it. I think it just captures the interventionist perspective. The Chinese base's construction is a milestone marking Beijing's expanding global ambitions. One base overseas is the only one they have. And how many do we have? 800.
And this is the big one, though, for us in on the African continent. But we have others that aren't quite so big, but they're all capable of launching missiles and launching drones and this sort of thing. So that is really the big contrast in how people look at this. They would like to add fuel to the fire to bash China. The United States, of course, has nothing. How can they do that with a straight face? But I think it's always important to see what the neocons are saying, and they're not going to like this or use it, you know, to get more military. And of course, this is the kind of stuff that if you're into building big, huge bases like this in areas of the world that we generally don't pay much attention to, the average American doesn't pay a lot of attention to it, and yet the money is going to be there. There's no question that they're going to have billions of dollars being spent here in the next several years in this little spot, and even more, you know, because of the Chinese being there and by the propaganda that the neocons are going to put out.
Yeah, we spend $63 million a year for the lease of the base, and we're in the middle of a billion-dollar upgrade to the facility. 4,000 U.S. troops, including CIA, Air Force, drone installments. So there's a lot of U.S. presence there. It's very important. But, you know, the other thing that struck me, and this goes back to what we've said many times, is that the other side will say that that this just goes to show if we aren't forward deployed, the Chinese will rush in to fill the void. But in reality, if you read the origins of the building of this base, it really is in response to a lot of the problems that the U.S. created. The Chinese had to evacuate thousands of people in Libya when the U.S. started bombing it, liberate it, and overthrow it, and turn it into a disaster. The U.S. destabilized Sudan, where China has had a significant investment in oil and rare earth metals, destabilized and split up the country, and the Chinese... they ended up still buying oil, but it caused problems. So I think the building of the base is in some ways in response to the U.S. interventionist policies in Africa.
Now, the other strategic country there is Somalia, and it's in political turmoil. There are people trying to overthrow the government, and we're very much involved. We pick sides on that. So you wonder, too, if we're looking for an excuse, and we have this base here, and it continues to grow. And the one report, at least, was sent out that we do have plans in place to expand our role in Somalia. And right now, that's a major debate in the new administration, because at one time, you know, yes, expansion and involvement was no big question, always was. But, you know, Obama's involvement was different. You know, drop a couple bombs now and then, like every day, and kill a few innocent people and having collateral damage, and then run for the hills. But that's not the current administration's plans. It doesn't look like, this whole idea of just dropping bombs now, they're talking about more troops on the ground. So if they're talking at the same time about being more involved in Somalia and us building this up, and the incentive there is the Chinese moving in, it might be one day a hot spot in the world. It's in a way a hot spot already. You think just on the other side of Yemen, you have the Straits of Hormuz, and we have Iran there, and anything can happen there, because there's some aggressive individuals in the administration. There are some aggressive individuals known as neocons that would just think it'd be a great idea to have a little battle with the Iranians, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and you know, it may shock you, but this is also a big windfall for the military-industrial complex because it'll be used as an excuse. You know, the president outlined at CPAC his plan for the greatest military buildup in U.S. history. And one of the key components of it is more money for shipbuilding. And Reuters quoted an unnamed administration person saying this money is for a more robust presence in key international waterways and choke points, including the Straits of Hormuz and South China Sea. So this is justification for this huge increase in military spending.
Yeah, and so much of it is going to go to the Navy, and the Navy is important in warfare. But also, there's some in the media, in the administration, that's talking about, well, the tanks are all worn out. Mm-hmm. You know, we need a whole new set of tanks, modernize our tanks. And I remember that coming up in the 70s and early 80s. I said, When are we going to have a tank warfare with anybody that's going to invade our country? You know, are the Russians going to? They're not going to land with tanks. We don't need more tanks, but you need more tanks if you're an aggressive power. When you're committing aggression on another land and you want to occupy, yes, you need tanks to go in there and keep order. But that shouldn't be the foreign policy. It never creates order. It creates disorder. It creates a lot of spending. It makes us more vulnerable. It makes us less secure. And nothing ever changes. And unfortunately, we who think in these terms are facing a coalition that worries me because, you know, it looks like the neocons haven't turned tail and run. They're still around.
Oh, yeah.
And the U.S. Congress is very strong on this. And the administration, of course, is in many ways because of the war on terrorism. But Democrats who used to be the anti-war party, they're going to go along with it, too, because they hate Trump.
Yeah.
You know, anything he says is going to be bad. So that's a powerful coalition they're putting together. That's why I would love to keep working on my goal is to get a more vocal coalition between libertarian constitutionalists as well as progressive Democrats. And, you know, we've talked about this a lot. You know, the best one that fits that category, of course, is Kucinich,
yeah.
You know, Dennis, and there are others. But I think we have to get together who are anti-imperialistic, even if we disagree on Obamacare,
yeah.
Because it's such an important issue. Because the coalition against us, they don't agree on all the economic issues. As a matter of fact, they just come together for one thing, to be pro-war.
Yeah.
And we need to build the coalition against this senseless war that continues to go on. So right now, I am not all that optimistic that the troops will be coming home soon.
Yeah, but it's a war of ideas, and I think including the progressives and libertarians, I think there will be some disaffected conservatives that come to see the light when the president they supported is not delivering. But, you know, one thing that struck me when I was reading this whole thing, and I guess I chuckled to myself, because I was hoping that there are some very crafty and clever Djiboutian officials who are just making a windfall out of this. Because not only the Americans and Chinese there, Japan, Italy, UK, France, Germany, they all have bases there. They're all paying rent on this little speck of desert out in the middle of nowhere. The Chinese have built a port, an airport, a new rail line, a water pipeline. They've got to be just sitting back and enjoying this.
Yeah, what we need to do is go over there and build this huge resort hotel and say, can't we all get along together? Come and let's mingle and show what people can do. Let's give up on the war. It reminds me of that scene in World War I where the English troops and the German troops said, we're not going to kill each other on Christmas Eve. You know, and they just threw their arms down and celebrated Christmas for a couple hours.
Yeah.
So in a way, you can see that. Let's quit this warmongering stuff. We don't need to prepare to deal with the Chinese. And why don't we just quit, you know, suspend the bombing of Yemen for a while?
Yeah.
Maybe the Yemenis can settle their own dispute. Maybe if we didn't do what everything Saudi Arabia tells us because they might threaten to cut off our oil or something like that, we could just do that. Let's just have a little bit of getting along together for a change.
then they would say, oh, Ron, that's just unrealistic.
Well, I'll tell you what I think is unrealistic is our current foreign policy. But we're still keeping our fingers crossed that it's not going to be identical to Obama. But there are some signs that it might not all be improved, because demanding and insisting that we hugely increase the military budget, because that budget has nothing to do with national defense. It has to do with subsidizing the military-industrial complex and subsidizing bases like this that serve no national security interest. And that is what's, to me, so important. So I am hoping that we can alert some people to one little item in the news, which could be a big item if we're not careful, but it's an important issue on where we are and what we're doing and how much money we're spending. And if China has one base and they're telling the truth that it's just a refueling base, maybe we ought to wait and see what happens, because I do not think the Chinese are about to put troops in their base in Djibouti and start invading the American base. That's not on their agenda. But anyway, our argument for a non-interventionist foreign policy is still strong. We've shown statistics where when you take a decent poll among people, especially young people, they don't want to have any part of it. And people basically do not like war. And yet they get talked into it by the war propagandists, which the neocons unfortunately control and are able to persuade so many people through the ordinary media. And that's what we're up against. But I think it's easy to defend the position of peace and prosperity by a non-interventionist foreign policy, and we're going to do our best to present that case to the American people. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.